Sir.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines in the 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's. Disney and the NFL have agreed to terms on a new 10-year extension of their current deal, a price tag around $2.5 billion, up from just under $2 billion in the last deal. Kevin Durant's going to be out until after the All-Star break with a hamstring injury. Former Zag Domantas Sabonis will take Durant's place. Brooks Koepka leads the way at the midway point of the World Golf Championships in Florida, 11 under par. He leads three players, including PGA champ Colin Morikawa, by one shot. And former Rainier Beach star DeJounte Murray fined $25,000 for kicking the game ball into the stands at the end of the Spurs 102-99 loss to the Thunder. All right, Softy and Dick continue here in the 4 o'clock hour. No Softy until Monday. Donald Watts filling in more than admirably today. He's bringing the heat. Fastballs, nothing but fastballs from D. Watts today. I absolutely
love it.
That's what happens when we keep Donald pent up without a radio show for like 11 months, man.
Well, he just broke quarantine today, baby.
Yes, you did. 49451, by the way, textimonials at 445. And want to ask you how much Russ has hurt his reputation. Like the text I just read from a buddy of mine saying, you know, he's basically guaranteed he'll never be Seattle's most beloved athlete, even if he stays. Do you agree with that sentiment? Disagree? I did send out a tweet yesterday with a poll on it. The criticism that Russ is getting is ... deserved or undeserved? 1,035 votes thus far with 2 hours left to go in the poll. 76% deserved, 24% undeserved. So there is a hit. The Q rating has taken a hit here in Seattle, Donald, for Russell Wilson. There's no question about that. Is that reasonable in your mind?
I mean,
it's taking a hit?
At this time in the moment for a fan, absolutely. But they come back and they win a Super Bowl or two,
of course, yeah.
People will get over it fast.
Yeah,
you know, and at the end of the day, people can say a lot of things, but really that's what he's talking about. What Pete and Russ have a disagreement on is how to get back there and get that done.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I mean, that's what this is about, not about, you know, this or his reputation or whatever. The dude wants to win. You know, and he wants, like, he believes that winning is, as a franchise quarterback, is his responsibility, and he wants some things around him so he can get that done.
Protecting the brand is obviously very important in any entity, sports or otherwise, in your company that you work for, protecting the brand. But what you hear being said publicly about the people you work with sometimes is different when you're working with them versus 5 years down the road when you're not working with them, right?
Absolutely.
You know, Jackson Felt leaves KJR, I'm airing the dude out.
It's all
out there, man.
Oh,
it's all, but right now, Jackson's my buddy. He's my producer. I got to treat him right, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
So don't let the door hit you with a good Lord's picture.
Go on vacation.
Exactly. Takes a week's vacation, and look what he gets when he comes back. But, no, what I'm saying is, when you see and hear things about Pete Carroll from players when they leave, it's always like, man, that was a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was, Pete made that place different than any other place I've ever been. You just hear that from everybody. And they return to Seattle to play a lot of times,
mm-hmm,
later on in their career. When you hear things about Russ and see things about Russ, you open Twitter and you see tweets from former teammates of him. Like, for example, Richard Sherman, just with the zipper on the mouth tweet,
mm-hmm,
when there's criticism said. Jermaine Kearse, the gif about the dude's just eating chicken, kind of smiling, going, like, Jermaine's loving this right now. So why is that Pete Carroll gets lauded when people leave and Russ takes some smoke?
I can't speak like, oh, this is what it
sure,
is.
Sure.
But I think Russ is a different dude. You know what I mean? And I think Russ shows a face publicly, and he's very calculated on how he presents himself or whatever.
Yep.
And I would imagine around the VMAC and around games and around, you know, like, yeah, he's, like I said before we went to break, he's a hyper-competitive, to do what he's done at his size, against all the odds, and to be like, you're not the nicest guy on, you know, at practice. You're not the nicest guy at, you know, whatever. And so when you have a teammate and you know him to be a certain way, but then he's portraying himself and portrayed a different way, that can carry some resentment, right? And Pete's role is to bring people in and get them to perform at higher levels. And Russell has no role with Richard Sherman. Like he doesn't, you know, like whether Richard Sherman likes him or doesn't like him, you know, Russ does have a role with his offensive line. He does have a role.
Who he laid out.
Right, with his right receiving core. It took him a while to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It took him a while to do it.
He picked an odd time, though. He could have done it after 2017 when they really were horrible.
Nah, but he's in a position. So this is something that I wonder, right? Like, how much DK Metcalf was really frustrated. Really visibly frustrated towards the end of the season.
Yes.
DK can't say what Russ is saying right now. Right? And DK is on his offense. And so while we're looking at Russ is throwing Russ might be speaking on behalf of the offense. He might be speaking on behalf of the wide receiving core. Like where certain people might be looking at it like, yo, man, he just threw these guys under the bus. Other guys are like, yeah, Russ, like, damn, we've been waiting for you to say that. Like, we need to get this thing going. You know, you don't think DK gets frustrated with hearing about the running game? You know, when he's out there with somebody half his size guarding him and the ball's not coming his way? You know, so the question was, why does Pete, you know, get all these compliments when guys leave? And Russ, you know, Russ is very calculated. And I'll say, a lot of people, a lot of guys, a lot of athletes, a lot of people in the black community, like when somebody's not really showing their own self or true colors or whatever, that can rub you the wrong way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And professionally, Russ might feel like that's what he needs to do and how he got to where he's at or whatever. He's not a cornerback. He can't be, you know, he can't be like a certain way. He's doing what he has to do to be the face of a franchise. There'll be guys that can't handle that and take that. Pete doesn't have that same responsibility as a coach.
The only problem I really had with what Russell said was I thought that there was just a cursory, yeah, I wasn't good either, and then laid into the rest of basically the play calling, the offensive line. You know, he didn't take enough responsibility, in my opinion, on his shoulders. And so, you know, people criticizing the Seahawks, why aren't they calling a press conference to show love to Russ? And mostly it's the national guys saying this. You know, they should be squashing all these trade rumors, you know, and whatever. And no, they don't need to do that. But Russ, at some point, I think, needs to come out with a little bit of culpability and say, hey, you know, I probably phrased it the wrong way. I didn't need to say that about the line. I need to take more responsibility for the sacks that I'm taking, because you ask any of those guys that break down film, ask Hugh Millen, ask Greg Cosell, Russell Wilson is responsible a lot of sacks.
First of all, I hope Hugh is listening, but I'm not asking Hugh anything about Russell Wilson.
Why? Because of his,
His original stance.
I got you.
No, and I'm teasing.
There's some culpability. I mean, Hugh's taking some culpability there too.
No, I'm teasing.
But you know, I also want him to, you know, say a little. Hey, I'm the quarterback, not the general manager. I'm gonna let the general manager be the general manager. You know, there's some things, and he doesn't have to come out and itemize it like that and just totally fall on the sword. But you know what I mean. I would love to hear him try to mend fences a little bit. Mike Dugar told us, he goes, they need to hug it out.
Yeah.
Well, if they're going to hug it out, they got to put their egos aside. Anytime you got to hug something out, you're going to have to, two big, huge egos are going to have to put them aside for a second.
And I think that's one of the things, what you just said, and I think that to be who Russ is and where he is, his ego is a lot bigger than what people would think or assume based on how he presents himself.
And we're seeing that now.
Right? And so when you talk about players who are like, okay, yeah, like Richard Sherman, he wears his ego. Like everybody knows, everybody, you know. So like that guy in the locker room is who he is and is like is respected because of or whatever. Well, they see a guy like Russ who pretends not to be, right? Like, and I put him in air quotes, he pretends not to be. The public loves him for being this or being that, but behind closed doors, like, he's, you know, he's they've been having this conversation. He's been doing this stuff, right? But it hasn't been a public doing of the stuff. And now it's starting to, you know, he's starting to do that. And when I saw the interview, he frankly kind of looked uncomfortable.
Yes.
Saying yes. What he was saying, you know, it's like, it wasn't like, oh, he's like, okay, I'm gonna show you guys a little bit of like where I'm really at.
Well, that's why it almost felt to me like it was Mark Rogers in his ear saying, now's the time, man. Now's the time to drop the bomb. Let's go.
But that's another something that's always frustrated us about Russ. Right? You're like, oh, he's the biggest cornball ever. Right? And so now he steps out of his cornballness and says what's really on his brain, and everybody goes crazy.
Oh,
but he drives you crazy after every game when he's like, oh, this was that. And then, you know, like, go Hawks. You know, you're like, come on, Russ, we're not getting nothing from you.
Yeah.
Well, we got something.
And we got a lot. And the national reaction has been swift. It's been on both sides. And we will hear a lot of it next with Fun with Audio. Dick Fain here. Softy will be back Monday. Don Watts is here. Jackson is here on a Friday on 950KDino.com.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for March Madness and the Final Four. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Ah, Friday at 420 means Fun with Audio. Did you hear that? And Donald gets to join me for this one. And there are definitely two camps, Don, in the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll world right now. And
no camp I'm on.
Yeah, I know which camp you're in. And it appears that Marcellus Wiley from Fox Sports 1, speak for yourself. Oh, wait, I forgot this. Hey, Don, did you hear that?
Hear what?
It depends. There you go. God, he's on it today. It appears that Marcellus Wiley is on a different camp than Donald is. He asked the question, how's this going to end between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks?
How will this end? With Russell Wilson taking the L and tucking his tail and still being the franchise quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. A lot of dust is going to get kicked up in the process of getting to that realization. And they're going to go right back to 3 yards in the cloud of dust in terms of the reality, because Russell Wilson doesn't have any legs to stand on in this situation. What you're seeing right here, beyond Russell Wilson changing, evolving, that's a nice way of saying you're going Hollywood. It's okay. As my coach used to always say, hey, bro, don't come to practice on the red carpet. And Russell Wilson, because now he has his camp, he has his entourage, he has those people speaking with him and for him, he's in that place right now.
Ooh.
I hear him.
He also said later on in that show, a quarterback's release is his best offensive line. In other words, get rid of the damn ball, Russ. Don't be pointing fingers unless every time out you're seeing guys and you're throwing to open guys and you're getting the ball out before the pressure gets there. We can all see. I mean, we're not stupid. We can see if you're getting sacked within 2.5 seconds or if your sacks are coming after 4 seconds. That's when a lot of them are coming.
What we have in Seattle is a franchise quarterback who's acting like a franchise quarterback.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right. Hey, Donald, you hear that?
Hear what?
KJ Wright joining Good Morning Football on the NFL Network, reacting to Russell's list of teams he wants to be traded to.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of caught off guard myself, but, you know, looking back at it, Russ isn't going anywhere. As long as I'll be in Seattle, Russ is going to be the quarterback. And he means too much to us. He means way too much to this organization. He means way too much to this city. And usually people want to come to Seattle, not leave Seattle. And so I'm sure that him and the organization will get things figured out. He's somebody that, you know, I admire and love playing with. And so I expect Russ to be a Seahawks for a very long time.
I love how he dropped the, as long as I'm here, Russ is going to be the quarterback. Well, how long are you going to be here, KJ?
next week.
Exactly. What's it? When's the beginning of free agency? A couple weeks. Okay. So, yeah, he's probably right. I would assume that KJ will be gone before Russell Wilson will be gone. I hope KJ doesn't go anywhere, but it certainly looks to be heading in that direction. Hey, Donald, did you hear that?
Hear what?
Wright also joined the Jim Rome Show. He's been busy. Been busy. CBS Sports earlier this week discussed if he would take a hometown discount.
I believe that it would be a great investment for Seattle to, you know, to keep me, because as you've seen, since I've been here, we've been nothing but, you know, awesome. They know how much I want to be here, but at the end of the day, I get it.
Would you be willing to give them a hometown discount to stay there, or do you owe it to yourself to make sure you get fair market value?
No, nah, man, I do way too much on the football field to take a discount. That makes absolutely no sense. Like, if you want to, you know, win all these championships and, you know, look good on Sundays, you got to compensate your guys that are making plays. So I have a family, and I'm trying to, you know, set up long-term success for my family. So that's kind of out of the question.
KJ writes Benjamin Button, dude.
No, he's looking good.
Dude gets younger every year.
Yeah, he's looking good.
And I don't know how that happens. And I'm looking at these, you know, like Spotrac and the guys that predict how much money you're going to get in your next contract. They've got the exact same contract for KJ Wright as he just signed 2 years ago. 2 years, $14 million. So he has played so well that, and we're in a pandemic, he has played so well that he's essentially earned himself a raise at the age of 31 and 32 than what he had at 29 and 30. It's amazing.
Nah, I mean, the way he moved and a year or two ago, it looked like, you know, he wasn't quite getting to some plays and doing it. And this year, he was phenomenal.
He certainly was. Hey, Don, did you hear that?
Hear what?
Colts wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. joining TMZ on Monday. He was asked if he would give up his number 11 jersey to his new teammate, quarterback Carson Wentz.
I spoke to him, and he was just seeing, like, how like, locked in I was to 11, and I told him that I was locked in. And he was like, that's cool, bro, because I'm probably going to switch anyway. So it went really well, and he's just a cool guy. I mean, like, lots of guys with his status, like, they would come in and they would, like, demand and stuff right. like that. So I just think that he's a really great dude, and I get to keep 11. So it was a win for me.
Isn't Carson Wentz – I mean, wouldn't Carson Wentz want to change his jersey anyway? I mean, just kind of, let's just wash it clean, right?
Say 11's been tough on him lately.
Yeah, it's been rough. Did you ever have a jersey situation? Like when you went to UW, did they just give you one? Or
nah, I was 13 my first 2 years. I wore number 13, my dad's number, my first 2 years.
Okay.
And I came up out of that after.
Went to the 2-4?
Yeah, I went to the 2-4. I told him, hey, Slick, you can have this. I'm trying to get away from that. Nah, 13 was rough on me. That was real rough. Those first 2 years were rough.
I think when people remember Donald Watson Husky uniform, it's 2-4, the old 2-4, baby. You said 13. I was like, damn, I don't even know if I remember that.
Yeah. Seldom seen 13.
There you go.
Just a little bit of playing time.
Unlucky 13. Hey, Don, did you hear that?
Hear what?
After losing to Marquette Wednesday night, North Carolina head coach Roy Williams, he's been salty this year, ended his press conference with this question and response.
What would you say to Carolina fans who are questioning whether or not it made sense to schedule this game considering the result?
Well, if I'd known we were going to lose, God almighty, I wouldn't schedule the thing. Come on, we can't operate in damn hindsight. God almighty. If you'd told me we were going to lose, hell yeah, we wouldn't have played the game. If you'd told me we were going to beat the Lakers, I'd have scheduled them. Carolina fans, they're not that dumb. If they are, I got no answers for them.
That's a good question. I mean, that's a good response because that was a good response because I know a lot of coaches in this country who would have gotten that question and it would not have been as jovial.
Yeah.
And when honestly, I hadn't heard that cut before. When I heard the question, I was like, "Uh-oh,
yeah,
this could get bad." But hand it to Roy Williams. He made a joke out of it, and I thought he did a nice job. Hey, Don, did you hear that?
Hear what?
At the press conference on Tuesday, Minnesota Timberwolves forward Anthony Edwards became slightly distracted during a question from an Irish reporter.
So if you get a win tonight, that would breed confidence going into those next four games against teams in the similar spots beside you in the table.
Where are you from, Jim?
Ireland.
I like your accent. It's tough. Oh. I want to learn how to talk like that. But ask your question again. I was too much listening to your accent.
Yeah, no problem.
Did you notice how he dropped in instead of the standings? He dropped in your position in the table.
Yeah.
So good. So good. Hey, Don, did you hear that?
Hear what?
KG appeared on Wednesday's Jimmy Kimmel Live, shared a story about trash-talking with Michael Jordan as a rookie in 1995.
Don't do it.
You can't start trash talk and stop. That's one thing you can't do. You can't start talking and then, because, you know, we have a saying in the league that you let some sleeping dogs lie. And, you know, I am a product of that. And I use Michael Jordan as an example.
Yeah.
One night, I'm young. I'm 19 years old. I'm in the league. I'm fresh. I graduated out of high school in Chicago. So we come back, we play the Bulls. And I was playing great. Probably the best I've ever played in my life at this point, right? And it's against the Bulls. And J.R. Ryder is having an unbelievable game, too. And I'm just feeling 19. I'm like, yeah, keep going. Killing him. Ooh. And in the short form of it, Jimmy, I woke up a sleeping dog. You know, and it wasn't pleasant. And
that dog being Michael Jordan?
That big dog named Michael Jordan. Man. And he bit. He bites and he bit hard. And yeah, it got me bitten in the ass.
See, Michael doesn't even need people to talk smack. He just imagines people talking smack. Who's that? LeBradford Smith? He like imagined that the guy talked smack to him. And LeBradford's like, what? I don't know what you're talking about, man. Were you much of a smack talker? I don't remember you talking a lot of trash.
Not really. Not very loud and, you know, flamboyant. But I got in some conversations with guys on the court, but it was usually like in their ear, you know, like. And usually before, I don't like guys talking trash after they win or after whatever. Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm about to do this to you, that kind of thing. But very quiet.
I didn't talk a lot, but I'll tell you what, I talked more game than I had.
Right.
Who's the best smack talker while you were there at UW?
We didn't really have anybody.
Nobody?
I mean, my thing is, like, I'll tell somebody, hey, man, I'll take this someplace you ain't never been. Like, you know? I'll tell him, you know, I'm training my son, and I'm like, man, you're not there yet. He's like, what do you mean? I said, man, when I was in high school, I would, like, literally dribble, and I say, hey, you're too close. And the guy would be like, huh? Boom, blow by him. And the next time, you're too far off. You're like, what do you mean? Boom, pop. Like, what are you going to do? Like, that's what I would be doing when I was playing. I remember we played Stanford, and guy came off the bench, and he said something. It was loud, right? Stanford was number one. We were back and forth, and he said something to me, and I just went nuts. Like, four straight possessions. He's like, I said you have a nice game. I was like, oh, my bad.
That's great.
I just looked at him. I didn't even say anything to him. I just went to work. He's like, damn, man, I said you had a nice game. I was like, oh, I thought you were talking trash. My bad. But take this with you.
That is good stuff. Speaking of a nice game, hey, Don, did you hear that?
Hear what?
On Tuesday, Warriors guard Steph Curry reacted to hearing the news that Tiger Woods suffered serious injuries in a car accident that morning.
It's very unfortunate. I mean, you know, this day and age, when you get a text like, do you hear a Tiger? Obviously, your mind goes, for me, it went to a dark place, and thankfully, you know, he didn't have any life-threatening injuries, but it's just unfortunate and sad, and knowing all he's been through, you know, these last couple of years. So, you know, thankfully he's okay from what I hear. I don't know too many details, but I just wish a speedy recovery, because at this point, like, I'm a huge golf fan, you know that, and, you know, love watching him play and being on the tour and competing, but at this point, it's not about golf. It's about, you know, his quality of life and being there for his kids.
He mentioned going to a dark place. I gotta be honest, I did as well. I mean, I got the worst deja vu of Kobe mourning.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, not Tiger a year after Kobe. Please, no. And then we found out he was gonna be okay. And not perish, then it was like, okay.
What was going on?
Yes, what was going on? Please, I mean, we've seen many instances in the past with cars and at least two instances in the past with cars and Tiger. And I was like, no, just please let this be just an accident, right? And it's, so far, it sounds like it was just a very unfortunate accident. I mean, who knows? Tiger has mentioned many times he's had very, very difficult time sleeping. Mm-hmm. It might be one of those things where he couldn't sleep the night before, got like 1 hour sleep. He might have just dozed off behind the wheel at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I definitely had the same, you know, thought and thought process, like the exact same thought pattern. You know, I'm like, man, come on. And then they say he's going to be all right. I'm like, was he, you know, was he pain medication? Yeah, sure. Back surgery, you know, like, come on, what's going on? But, you know, like, just glad he sounds like he's going to be okay as far as the, you know, quality of his life and stuff like that. And he's talking about rehabbing and trying to get back out on the course. So that's good news.
Pick one for me, Jackson, 9 or 10?
Oh, we'll go 9.
Number 9. After beating the Rockets last week, 76ers head coach Doc Rivers interrupted a question from reporter Jackson Grant during his post-game press conference.
Hey, Doc. Pretty prolific first half from you guys without Ben, and then Joel kind of a...
Jackson, are you in bed right now?
I am laying on my bed, yeah.
Jesus Christ, Jackson. All right, I'm sorry.
Hey, man, just chilling, right? I'm just doing my Zoom press conference. I just watched your game on TV, and I'm just hanging out in bed.
Hey, I go into my son's room, and he's sitting there in school, shirt off, oh. You know, like laying. I'm like, yo, man, get up, put on some clothes, sit at your desk. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're a little too comfortable. You're not.
Yes. Like, here's what my kid does, and you'll be able to see the visual. I'll explain it to those of you, not the two of you that are actually seeing me. This is what Dixon does. Puts his legs up, he puts his knees high, scoots back as far as he possibly can in his chair, and just like lays back with his knees straight up in the air, feet on the table, and I walk by his room, I'm like, can you please have your feet on the floor for the 75th time this school year? Feet on the floor, man. Like, you're in class.
Yeah, get in the learning position. Get in the learning. Come on, man.
Get these kids back to school, please.
Please.
Please, please. Oh, 439 on 950 KJR. Textimonials. What do you think? 49451. Russell Wilson, I had that poll that I threw out, whether the criticism he was receiving is deserved. A vast majority of people said yes, 76 to 24 with over 1,000 votes tallied. What do you think? Is this going to hurt the legacy of Russell Wilson, what's happened over the last couple weeks? 49451. Textimonials next. Softy and Dick without the soft one on 950.
Now.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, Don, let's see what the masses think on the text in the text line. Our text line, I know you've been on vacation, Jackson, but from what I've heard from Shockey, like record-setting week. Yeah. On the 950 KJR yep. text line, which is just so crazy. Like, if you would have said, okay, Fain, I'll give you one guess on what date would be the record-setting week of the KJR text line. Late February would be my last choice of any week of the entire year. But Russell Wilson giveth to us this week here on 950 KJR. What do we got?
Russ is the best player this team has ever had. He's frustrated and so am I. He's maturing and using his voice. I've got no problem with him.
I disagree with the first comment there. I do not believe Russell Wilson is the best player this franchise has ever seen. We have a guy that comes on with us every week during the football season that wore 71. I think he played left tackle, who was a way better left tackle than Russell Wilson was a quarterback. Now, if you're going to equate quarterback
doesn't he have a line, the best to ever do it?
Yeah, the best to ever do it. Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to confuse Russ with the best to ever do it at the quarterback position, but I will say Russell's contribution as a quarterback might be greater than an even better player at a different position. But what were you at? You were ready to say something there. I jumped in.
No, I was nodding my head to the testimony. Yeah. You know, that's it. But I do agree with you. The best to ever do it, Big Walt.
I think Big Walt will be number one.
Yeah.
I think all the guys in the Hall of Fame right now have very, very strong arguments that they had better careers with Seattle than Russell Wilson did. What's next?
I think Wilson at this point in his career is more worried about his legacy than the team.
See, I have to disagree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Russ is – the disagreement is about how to get the team to the next level, how to get the team to the next step. And he believes that he is the guy. He wants it on his arm, right? But he wants a line in front of him. I just think that it's a disagreement. I don't think it's like, oh, my legacy.
Has he shown the ability to be that quarterback? I mean, I read that quote from the unnamed coach in Michael Sean's article along with Sando and Jenks. The unnamed coach said, you are at your best when you have a balanced attack, when you have a running game. You are not Dan Marino. This is an unnamed coach said that from Russell Wilson, and he's not Dan Marino.
No, I mean,
because he can't stand in the pocket and see every receiver like Dan Marino can at 6'4" and a half.
Yeah, and Dan Marino didn't win championship.
That's right.
So you don't want to be. And I don't think that's what he's asking for. I don't think that he's asking to go break the all-time passing records and all the all-time touchdown record. I think what he's looking for is the opportunity to put the ball in his hand and to try to go win a championship.
I would love to believe that a Russell Wilson-led team with a mediocre run game can win a Super Bowl. I just don't think it can. I just don't think it can.
And I think that the run game, it needs to be better than mediocre, mm-hmm. but with what they have and how they're built, it needs to. The run game is dependent on the pass game now, which is just a difference of a lot. Like,
right.
It could be the same production, but it's not going to be the. It's not going to. It's going to be your curveball right now. The way, you know, and I'm not no football coach, but mm-hmm. just the way you're built. Like, your guys that tip the field. Are a wide receiver and a quarterback.
You look at 2019 is the only team I can think of that really had a quarterback that you just put it all on his shoulders and he did it. And that was Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes,
I mean, he got some weapons.
Right. In the pass game, I'm saying doing it without a running game.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at Kansas City's running game. They were led by the 498 yards and 5 touchdowns of Damian Williams.
Right.
I mean, that was their number one running back when they won the Super Bowl, but they also had Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce.
And a short passing game.
Yes.
They had a passing game at all three levels.
Yes, and they made their run game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a little swing pass here to Tyreek Hill is for 8 yards. That's a better option than giving it to a running back.
I mean, I would love to see the Seahawks have a screen game.
Oh,
I would love to see them have a screen game. And then they tried and he threw a pick six. That's
yes,
all right, though.
After DK got all mad and forced him to do it.
For a pick six.
I've been begging for this for years. I want a guy that has some speed and wiggle. A guy that can take it to the house from everywhere. And he doesn't have to be a first-round pick because he can be 5'7 for all I care. I don't care. We got time for one more.
Time to let KJ Wright go find another team in his last year or two, he's past his prime. Jordan Brooks is ready to step into Wright's spot at a lot less money.
He is. You've got that. That obviously is going to factor into their decision, Don. If Jordan Brooks was a total bust this year, I think they would have to spend the money on KJ Wright. They probably don't need to now.
Yeah, I think they're comfortable with what they have, his speed, his ability to cover ground. And, you know, it's unfortunate because KJ is a great Seahawk, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's the epitome of this organization leadership. But you got Bobby Wagner back there. You got Brooks. And he seems like he's going to be the next one in line.
We've got a McDonald's All-American coming on in the next segment. One of three from the state of Washington, but the only one.
Help!
That is going
come
to
help.
Come help the dogs, Jackson Grant. The McDonald's All-American from Olympia High School is going to join me coming up next on 950 KJR.